Good evening, everybody, and welcome into your Tuesday. I'm going to say Thursday or Friday, I know, at some point, because Matt Daniels is here with me. Normally, Lauren Tate is here on Tuesday nights with us on Sports Talk. Fear not. Lauren just wanted to go see a prospect. That's what Lauren wanted to do. And so that's what Lauren is doing. We'll get him out here. We'll get him on the program at some point this week. But Matt Daniels, editor of IlliniHQ.com and the News Gazette sports page, is going to admirably fill in.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, good to see you. Lauren Tate is going to see E.J. Liddell.
So is Scott Ritchie, our Illinois basketball beat writer, the class of 2019 prospect, arguably the state's top junior, plays tonight over Normal at Redbird Arena with Belleville West as the Maroons take on West Aurora in a class 4A super sectional game, and the winner gets to head to state this weekend at Peoria.
That's because Illinois basketball is the number two thing around here. Number one is Illinois basketball recruiting.
Right now it is, and we'll probably continue.
You can flip-flop those two. You know you're doing well on the floor.
Probably continue to be so for the next 8 months or so until the 2018-19 season moves around, but Not only is E.J. Liddell playing tonight, but so is Io DeSumo, Illinois signee. He's got a Class 3A super sectional game against Chicago North Lawndale. He and his Morgan Park teammates up at Joliet Central tonight. So they're also playing for a right to play in Peoria this weekend.
Also tonight, it's the start of March Madness for the nation. I called it the first four in during the news hour, and a caller rightfully let me know that it's not really the first four in. It's just the
first
four winners, I guess, of the tournament. It's just called the first four.
Yeah, that's
but
what the...
probably like Villanova was part of like the first four in.
Most likely.
These are actually the last four in.
Yeah, that's true. The first four as far as the first four games of the tournament, since they have a doubleheader tonight and tomorrow over in Dayton. And what, LIU, Long Island, Brooklyn, and I think Radford.
Yep.
Get it going here in about 25 minutes or so on, I think, True TV.
And then
do you know what channel True TV is, Scott?
You know what? Nico gave us a handy dandy guide, I don't know if it's on.
I don't know if it's on there.
It may, that's the. And then St. Bonaventure against UCLA, and nobody will be paying attention except for the fans of these collective schools, because nobody fills out their bracket until these are done, right?
I think so. I think you probably have some people that maybe pencil in one of the 11 seeds that gets through either tonight or tomorrow night is possibly making a run, maybe winning that first round game or making it all the way to the Sweet 16. You think back to what VCU did when this concept was really kind of first brought about, and they went from playing in Dayton to playing in the Final Four and under Shaka Smart back in, I believe, 2011, 2012. I might have gotten my years confused there.
Why are you punished as an 11 seed with having to play an extra game?
Because they're probably one of the last, at-large bids in, so.
Yeah, okay. All right, busy day for the Chicago Bears. They're getting three potential targets for Mitchell Trubisky, starting with Allen Robinson, a very talented receiver sidelined by an injury this past year, coming from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He says he plans to sign with the Bears for 3 years, $42 million. Free agency opens up tomorrow. He was a 2015 Pro Bowl selection. Additionally, the Bears, according to Bragg Biggs of the Chicago Tribune, are signing Taylor Gabriel. He comes via the Falcons, a slot receiver. And then tight end Trey Burton has signed with the Bears. He was with Philadelphia. He's the one that threw that trick touchdown pass to Nick Foles in the Super Bowl a month ago. $32 million over 4 years. So the Bears bolstering that receiving core.
Well, yeah, that's the direction of the franchise. They're basing it all on Mitch Trubisky and his development. And with a new coach there in Matt Nagy and his background more on the offensive side, it seems they're going all in to give Trubisky the playmakers that he needs for the offense to thrive in.
Let's see. Drew Brees, he's going to stay in New Orleans Saint. 2 years, $50 million to stay down there. $27 million guaranteed in the first year. Packers reports are Jordy Nelson is out, and they're going to sign Jimmy Graham from the Saints, the very good pass-receiving tight end. one of the best tight ends in the league, probably maybe only behind Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, former college basketball player at Miami, and adds a different dynamic to the NFC North, and also looks like, too, that the Vikings might have a quarterback of the future as well. Was I going to steal your thunder with that, Scott?
No, you're just setting it up. That's right. That's how we work together.
Lob it up to you. And
Kirk Cousins will be talking with the Vikings tomorrow. He may be signing as well with the Purple People Eaters.
Looks like Case Keenum's going to the Broncos as well. So the free agency is off and roaring in the NFL.
And we are off and running here. We've got some Fighting Illini news. Alex Brown is a second straight Big Ten menace.
He's probably a menace to a lot of opposing tennis players.
Applications for this job are now being accepted at the front desk.
It's only Tuesday, so
yeah. Big Ten's Men's Tennis Athlete of the Week for the second straight time. He's good at tennis. Number 7 Illini beat Notre Dame and Northwestern last week. So he gets some back-to-back honors. Illinois baseball was scheduled to play today. It's been rescheduled for tomorrow, 3 p.m. first pitch at Illinois Field. The Illini taking on Milwaukee. Cirilla Watson's on the hill, and the Illini are 8-4. Go see them. They're good, and it's free. And they cracked the top 25.
Yeah.
For Baseball America.
You've seen them up close and personal the first 12 games of the year, Scott.
They could carry the flag for spring sports this year. Obviously, tennis is doing very well. Golf, we'll see what comes out of that. They've got to turn some things around.
They'll be there in contention, I'm sure, once late May rolls around. But we had Dan Hartlib on the show about a month, though, 3 weeks ago at Scotty's Brewhouse on that Thursday night. And mm-hmm. He kind of hinted that this Illinois baseball team had the potential to be pretty good, and so far they're really living up to it. That series in Minneapolis was huge, beating three Pac-12 teams and then carrying it over to what they did last weekend down in South Carolina. So we'll see if they can put on a good show for the home fans tomorrow afternoon against Milwaukee.
Well, winning always builds camaraderie, but you can sense just being around the team, too. They like each other. Mm-hmm. There's a good vibe and good energy. It's a team that likes to fight, so it could be doing something special this year. We will see. Certainly looks like they should be competing.
They've got some pretty snazzy pinstripe uniforms, too.
They are outstanding.
They're
actually
on the front page of Wednesday's News Gazette, by the way.
Ooh, there's a tease. I did not set that up for you. I did not set that up for you. We're going to talk some basketball recruiting with Brad Sturdy, get the latest on what's going on in that world. Also some Illinois football. Bob Osmussen's going to stop by with the world according to him. And Illinois wrestling getting ready for the national championships this weekend. Actually start Thursday. It's a Tuesday sports talk here on DWS. All right, now we have Brad Sturdy. And thank you, Evan, by the way, behind the scenes, because I told him. Totally missed your cues. That's all my bad. But hey, Brad, I understand you are as well on the way to see. Well, let me ask you this: are you on the way to see a future Illini in EJ Liddell?
Well, hopefully. I mean, that's the plan. I think. I guess we'll find out as we, as we go forward over the next 6 months here. But yeah, I mean, that's the plan here.
Are you in a wind tunnel?
I'm just changing cars right now. Yeah.
Changing cars.
A little bit windy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A good old East Central Illinois. Well, let's start with what's gone on over this past weekend. Tevian Jones visiting the Illini on his official visit. What are you hearing about it?
Visit went really well. As of today, Jones said that his plan is to take at least one more visit. I think he just wants something to compare it to, so he kind of has a feeling of what's out there and make sure that he's making a good, right decision. I think Illinois still is in really good position. I think they lead. But, anytime a kid takes another visit, it always scares you a little bit. But at the same time, I think they're in really good position, and I think they've done, put their best foot forward, and he had a great visit. And so,
talk about things that scare you. It scares me now when Illinois lands a Mr. Basketball. So, I don't know how to think or feel about anything anymore.
Yeah, it hasn't been, it's been, even when you get the guys, sometimes they don't turn out the way you want and it doesn't go the way you think. But, at the same time, I think, although Mark Smith didn't work out, that doesn't mean the next guy won't. So you just have to keep recruiting good players and kind of build from there.
EJ Liddell tonight. Brad, what are you kind of expecting to see out of him? And I'm sure there are a lot of Illinois fans too that are making the trip to Normal and to check him out at Redbird Arena tonight. What are you hoping to see out of him in action tonight?
Well, I mean, he's just such a dynamic player. He does it on both ends. He blocks shots. He rebounds. He scores. He does a little bit of everything. He can score inside. He can score outside. He gets to the line. I mean, he's a kid who really, is a total package. I think as you watch him develop, it's going to be how he moves. Maybe, it's little nitpicky things. His ball handling, maybe, ability to take people off the dribble. It's moving his feet on defense as opposed to just relying on, shot blocking and being bigger than everybody else and having the athleticism. So those are little things that you want to tweak. But I know right now a lot of people don't have him ranked, as a five-star kid. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, he'll be a five-star kid. I think he's got that kind of talent, that kind of potential. Obviously I was talking to, after he got in playing, against Liddell, Courtney Ramey, talked to him after the game and Courtney told me, he said, that is one big dude. And, he's right. He's a big dude. He's a legit 6'8" and, he's gotta be 230 pounds. I mean, he's a big, strong, athletic kid and, kind of kid that you'd love to see in orange and blue.
Do you see him as once he moves to college, you see him as a traditional four, maybe in for comparison's sake, just kind of a little Ron Black type of player at all?
Yeah, and in fact, when Illinois recruits him, they show him a lot of the stuff they've run for LaRon to get him the ball in the post, to also allow him to space out and shoot threes and things like that. So, and have a, face up and from 15 feet and be able to attack off the dribble. And those are all things that EJ does really well. Now, one thing, EJ's a much better shot blocker than LaRon. I mean, so that they're different in that regard. But I think that's how they would sell him, being that power forward type. And he's going to be a guy who can play, probably if he ends up, at the next level, to the NBA. I mean, you're talking about a guy who can play, a couple of different positions on the wing, because I think he'll have that level of athleticism where he could be a 3-4. So,
Brad Sturdy is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Sturdy32, covers the Illini for orangeandbluenews.com. Brad, Samba King, what did the Illini get in him with that commit? What was that, Friday they got that?
Yeah, you got a 6'11 kid who's about 220 pounds when he weighed in. He can jump up and touch 12 feet, very long. He's an athletic kid. Guys that are 6'11 athletic and can run the floor are guys that you don't pass on. He's also got kind of an emerging offensive skill set, probably a better skill set than we thought. Now he's new to the game of basketball, so he's a little raw maybe in understanding, but if you put him out there and have him run drills, he's pretty impressive just because of his ability to do some things,
is he kind of like Greg Eboigbodine?
Yeah, except he's probably 4 inches taller and a little bit I think
possible?
He's maybe got a little bit, yeah, and so I think he's got a little more skill, than Eboigbodine. So he's a little more skilled, but he's going to have that same issue where kind of understanding, where to go and what to do and so forth. But I think overall he's going to end up being a really good player. It may not be next year. I think he can fill a role next year, but I think down the road in, 2-3 years, you're looking at a kid who could be kind of make a huge impact in your front court.
Well, he has to fill a role next year, though, unless the Illini find somebody else. And as much as I want to get excited about Tevian Jones and Courtney Ramey and all that, I mean, it feels like it's going to be the same song next year unless something shows up in a big man, especially with the talk of LaRon Black departing.
Well, I mean, there's no question. They're not done. They're not done recruiting big guys. And I think if you look at all the close losses this year, when you had the offensive woes that you had, when you're talking about guys shooting, 22% from three-point range, from the perimeter, that was something they definitely had. So that's going to be an issue that they can kind of fix, I think. So if you can have a better shooting situation where you have better outside shooters, that will mask a few of the deficiencies that they've had. They also might have, just adding a guy like, I think Eboigbodine will be better. I think adding a guy like, Samba Kane will add a guy who can, even if it's only for 10 minutes, he just provides a little bit of rim protection. and a guy who can block some shots inside. And I think they'll get better at playing the system too. I mean, I think guys like Kipper Nichols are going to get better defensively. I think Trent Frazier will get better defensively. I mean, those guys both have the athletic system to do that. And you're basically, even if you kept the same guys and you take, you're replacing Mark Alstorck with Io DeSumo, that's an upgrade. I mean, you're going from to a five-star McDonald's All-American type player, you know, Jordan Brand, All-Star, whatever. But you're moving to one of the, you know, the best players in the state, you know, coming out, and you know, that's a big upgrade. So even with just that, you're going to be able to maybe tweak it a little bit and get a little bit better. And then you add in these other pieces that they're going to add this spring, and now you're looking at a team that, you know, has a chance to be a lot better. And I look for them to add, you know, at least three more pieces before the end of this spring period.
Do you think any of those pieces might be grad transfers at all? And if so, what, as you know, Brad, it's kind of been a mixed bag here the last six or seven seasons based on the grad transfer market at all. And you've had some misses. You've had some guys that have stuck around and had success. But what are the pros, cons, I guess, if Illinois does go and get a fifth-year grad transfer?
Well, I think you get guys who are more developed, who are more – I think you probably know more what you're going to get from a grad transfer. I mean, you know, and it is a mixed bag. You're going to get some that are successful, some that aren't successful. There are certain things that translate, whether it's rebounding, whether it's the, you know, ball handling, whatever. But there are some skills that maybe don't translate against the next level up, you know, when they move up a level. Like, you know, we saw that with Alstorck. His scoring did not translate clearly. But I think when if you have open scholarships and you can add a kid who can be in your rotation, who can help you win some games, you have to take it. I mean, and that's kind of the way I look at it. It's year to year. It's a one-year rental. You know, obviously some of these guys are even though being two-year rentals because they're graduating 3 years, they're having 2 years of eligibility left. So we've seen that as well. But, and it's the same thing. I mean, just because one fifth-year transfer maybe didn't work out, you can't not take the next one. It'd be like saying we're not going to take Mr. Basketball anymore because yeah, Mark exactly. Smith had a bad experience. So you got to go out and find the guys that fit what you want to do, though. And, you know, there's all the back-channel talking and things that go on as they're doing this, and they're making those connections, and hopefully they're finding guys that can fit and can help.
Finally, on the recruiting front, Courtney Ramey, where do the Illini stand with him?
Well, I mean, I talked to him Saturday. They had a game Saturday night. They just destroyed Webster Groves. They destroyed Fort Zumwalt, and they, you know, Ramey had a phenomenal game. He had 14 points in the first quarter, 24 in the first half. Really just was great. And, you know, talking to him after the game, Illinois is definitely in the mix. He has a great relationship over the years with Illinois assistant coach Jamal Walker. He's really gotten to know Brad Underwood now. So they've made that push. They've been in on him, really putting a lot of time on him. I know I from what I'm told, Coach Underwood loves him, you know, just thinks he's a, you know, dynamic point guard and feels like, you know, he can defend. He's one of those guys that's a winner who makes plays. You know, he's going after another state title. So I mean, he's a guy who just gets stuff done. And so I think with Ramey, according to his father, he told me that they are planning on visiting Illinois. After his season, they play, I think it's Thursday and Saturday this week in the Final Four in Missouri. And then he's planning on taking a few days off, and then they're going to sit down and set some dates. And the Illinois, the school that he said they would visit. They're definitely going to make it up to campus, whether it be an official or unofficial, but they definitely plan on making it up. And I think that was Illinois really wants to get him on campus. They feel like if they can get him on campus and show him how they want to use him and get to know him even better, that they feel like they can sell him and possibly get to that, you know, get a maybe a, another top 40 type point guard.
All right, Brad, before I let you go, because this is always what's fun to do at this time of year, who is your lock, would you say, for Final Four? That's the easy one. And who do you think we might be talking about come Sweet 16 Elite Eight time as the big Cinderella story?
Man, picking out a Cinderella, I think there's so many now that teams that kind of make those, you know, there's teams you'd love to see win. Like, I'd love to see Loyola do well. I don't see them getting past, you know, definitely not by the second game. I think the team that is the most complete team right now, the team that's been so good, has been Virginia, you know, year in and year out. I mean, they're a team that, or all year, you know, game in and game out, they've been great. They defend every day. And that's one of those things. Their scoring has been a little bit better this year, And they're, so their efficiency margin is just wonderful, and that's why they're the overall number one seed. I think they're good. I think Villanova, it wouldn't surprise me to see, I know there's a lot of upsets, it wouldn't surprise me to see a Virginia-Villanova, you know, game at the end. All the other teams seem to have, you know, some weaknesses and or maybe don't match up well. I mean, that Duke-Michigan State Sweet 16 game could be just amazing. I mean, that's in the Sweet 16, that's great. I, as far as, you know, sleeper teams, and you hate to say this on Illini Radio Network type thing, but, you know, Missouri, if they can sneak out that first game and get Michael Porter Jr., I mean, for those of you who haven't seen him play, he is just a phenomenal talent. And so if they can get them kind of, get connected and find him a place in the offense, and then they're going to be without the Barnett kid who had the DUI the first game. If they sneak out of that game, and then they, you know, there's a chance they could pull that upset with the one seed, because the one thing about Porter, he's arguably, if he's healthy and 100% healthy and going, he's one of the five best players in the country. And so you put that into that team that's already an NCAA team, if they can get all the pieces to mesh together, you know, they've got a chance to maybe they can pull an upset there, and then you'll be talking about Missouri. And they probably have, you know, to be honest, they, with Porter, they probably have three first-round draft picks on that team, at least down the road.
How did Illinois beat them then?
One of them wasn't playing.
I mean, yeah, obviously.
Well, Porter wasn't playing.
Exactly,
but yeah,
Porter,
I mean,
wasn't playing.
And Jonte Porter was terrible that day.
That's
so
true.
I mean, and you know, they kept the ball out of Tillman's hands, and I think that obviously made a, you know, that made a huge difference. But, you know, that's one of those games. Illinois, that was why Illinois, people had a lot of, thought Illinois had some potential and some upside because, you know, of games like that. But, you know, they just couldn't do that day in and day out. And even that game, if you look at that, they were so great in the first half, and then they really kind of limped home and held on for the win at the end in the second half. So, but yeah, it's that's one of the things
that's
I was
the only thing you have to talk about.
Rivals guy.
The only thing you have to hang your hat on from this season, though, so. You know,
yeah, Missouri Rivals guy, he even said to me, he said, you know, how did Missouri lose to this Illinois team? And I said, sometimes that's a good question.
Yeah,
so.
Very good question.
Hey, Brad, enjoy your time watching EJ Liddell, and we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's
Brad
Sturdy from Orange and Blue News. You can follow him online on Twitter, that is, at Sturdy32. All right, Bob Osmussen joins us when we get back. We've got Sports Talk here on Tuesday. Good luck to Illinois club hockey in the national championship tonight against Adrian College. Their puck drops soon. They've already put out their starting lineup, and they're doing that in Ohio, I believe. So, once again, as we've talked to now several times on this show, hockey could work here. I think they should look into it. I think they should. Somebody should. If they need to do a study or something to like kind of officially look into it, I understand. But
they did that.
I think it could work.
I think he was using sarcasm there, Bob.
Ah, I don't get that,
Bob. Yeah, you don't get sarcasm. Bob Osmussen is here for The World According to Bob, and tomorrow we'll see your bracket. And I'm assuming it's going to be a little offbeat.
Yes.
I mean, I you know, just based on experience.
Well, why not? Everybody can pick the four number one seeds. What fun is that? That's awful. Should not do that.
So if you're hedging your bets, that's
so
what
I have
you should
none.
Do.
I have no, no
have
number.
None, and you have
no number.
75% of the Big Ten teams that are in the tournament are in your Final Four.
That's right.
Why didn't
or
you
Ohio
just go
State.
All 100%? Oh,
I couldn't do that. I thought about that, but I couldn't do it.
Homer.
No, not at all. I actually like, I think a team conference like this that's really being downgraded, everybody's talking about them. They'll play well. I promise they'll play well.
Didn't you pick Iowa State a few years ago to win the whole thing, and they lost in the first round?
Maybe second round.
Southern Cal.
Southern Cal first round. Michigan State a couple years ago. Say first round.
All right.
There, I was there. I'll say Michigan State again this weekend, so we'll see.
All right, let's turn our attention to a moment here for football. Yesterday, it was pro day for the Illini, the couple of healthy seniors that were able to work out for NFL scouts. Malik Turner was one of them, and he wasn't actually fully healthy, but he talked about his day with an injury, and he still got to work out a little bit.
Basically, this day is probably what I was looking forward to, you know, ever since I was little, being in the draft, and everything's kind of been put back, set back because of this, you know, but my faith is strong, and I'm very positive. Like I said, I feel like I'm going to come out on top in this situation. I got people behind me, my family,
and friends that are praying for me, so I'll be fine.
Have scouts been telling you anything or giving you any advice?
I've been talking to teams and stuff, but they know it's a game of football, and this kind of thing happens. So I'm just going to keep them updated and see how it goes from there.
Malik Turner just never struck me as, okay, there's an NFL player, but his athleticism is there, and there might be something in that.
His numbers are really good. He's in the top 10 all time in catches at Illinois, which is amazing to me because it was pretty subtle. It wasn't like he had an 80 catch season or anything. He had, I think, 140 something and was tied for, I think, eighth or ninth. Pretty good. And when Matt and I saw him when he was a high school senior, mm-hmm. I would have told you he's going to be a star at Illinois.
Yeah.
Based on his attitude, the way he worked, what the coaches there said about him in high school. But he's had some injuries, had some things that didn't go well. Obviously, the team wasn't very good.
Had to adjust to a different system.
Four of them.
Yeah.
So it was complicated, but he's got a chance. All those guys have a chance. I always like the chances for Illinois linemen for some reason because the NFL likes them, and running backs from Illinois. So Kendrick Foster, who ran a really good time yesterday, has got a chance.
Oh, my goodness. He was just lightning down the field.
Compared to us.
Well, yeah, I know, but it just sometimes when you see him without pads and it's just, you know, show off your raw speed, it's rare that you see a human going as fast as he was in person.
Got to remember, this guy in high school was a great running back, one of the best in the state's history. So he didn't forget how to run. He was just behind bad lines and had some things happen to him that weren't really his fault. So I think give him a new chance. He could be the next guy that Howard Griffin or Josh Ferguson that goes in the NFL, sticks, surprises you, and makes some money.
Yeah, I think there's not a guy in the senior class that just kind of stands out and you think is going to get drafted come late April. But I think there's a handful of them that I think are going to get shots with NFL teams, whether that's signing as an undrafted free agent or going to a tryout camp and trying to make their way onto the team. But there'll be a few names. You know, Kendrick Foster, I think Christian DeLauro. Malik Turner might, even though with his foot injury. Jalen Dunlap's a guy, I think, who had maybe the biggest upside, his potential to get drafted before he tore his ACL, and now I'd be stunned if he got his name called in the seven rounds. But that doesn't mean that a team can't take a chance on him and see what happens, see if they stick it all.
I think Lovie Smith should be a help here. Hardy Nickerson should be help because those guys know everybody in the NFL. So all these guys the Illinois has coaching them now should help these guys, hopefully.
Yeah, as Lovie, I said, hey, do you know the faces that are going to be here for Pro Day? And he kind of played it off like, well, I haven't seen who's here yet, and I don't know. But he's really connected.
You would think. Yeah, I think all the coaches at Illinois now, and even the guys who were just in college, know the NFL pretty well. So I think that should help them. I think what happens is those NFL people come to Lovie and say, hey, can Kendrick play? Well, Levy's got to say yes, of course. But you can also maybe give these guys a chance because he can say, hey, look at him this way. Maybe somebody he hasn't thought of. So,
meanwhile, spring practice going on, and Nick Allegretti sharing his thoughts on it so far.
The atmosphere I've seen, probably the best one I've seen. Everyone's super excited. Practice is not a drag. You know, people are excited to come out to practice. But that's what we're all here for. And I feel like the guys we have in this program are football players. They're not guys that are just weight room guys or runners, and they look great in the off season and put pads on and then you never see them. They're guys that really like to play football. They want to make plays. I feel like we had a really good core group of guys.
There you go. He's excited.
Yeah.
Feeling good about spring practice.
He's a senior. Is he a senior?
He's a senior.
Wow,
it's
that's
crazy.
Weird. I remember
it's
when
crazy.
He was Lincoln Way East High School, and he was playing in the U.S. Army All-American game. We did a diary with him when he was down in San Antonio. It seemed just like yesterday. But, no, he's going to have to be one of the leaders on this team and in 2018 moving forward. And, you know, I think he's got a little bit of a reason there for some optimism just based on he's getting his first spring with a lot of his fellow offensive linemen because the guys he played next to last season, at this time last year, they're in high school. And now they're kind of entrenched on that offensive line, guys like Alex Pachuski, Larry Boyd, Doug Kramer. So, yeah, he's got to be the veteran leader, not only on the offensive line, but I'd say kind of throughout the whole team.
I agree.
All right, Bob, you had a chance to talk to some of the Illini wrestlers that are headed to the national championships in Cleveland. And, of course, one of those is Isaiah Martinez. He asked him about what a national championship would mean for him this time around. He's looking for his third.
I mean, everything, right? It's everything. It's my hard work. It's the payoff for my sacrifice, everything, right, to be the national champ. That's it, right, to see my hard work and my – it's everything that I've done in my life in the past 5 years or even the past 18 years that I've been wrestling come to fruition, right? So that's how important it is to me.
Head coach Jim Heffernan on the readiness for the guys.
I feel pretty good, honestly. I think our training's been good. I think the guys really responded pretty well at the Big Ten, so – really no issues. I think physically we're in good shape. The guys have trained well, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it now.
Yeah, all the attention is obviously, and rightfully so, on Isaiah Martinez, right. But there's four other guys. Probably Mike Carr has the next best chance of going deep in the bracket.
A lot of it is matchups, really. I mean, other than Isaiah has a great chance. I think he'll win again. I really do. But the other guys, the main goal, first goal is win a couple matches, but All-American, it was fine, top eight. It's really... primary goal. Then you get up on the wall at Illinois and at Huff. So those guys have a chance. But I think Isaiah, I'll be stunned if he doesn't win.
Travis Piotrowski, Dylan Duncan, Emery Parker, the other three Illini that are representing in the grapplers out in Cleveland. And
sold out, apparently. Yeah,
it's always a popular.
It's a great event. It really is. I've been
in. You know, Isaiah Martinez won his first one in St. Louis. Won his second one in New York City at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Now he'll try to become the first Illinois wrestler to ever win three. In Cleveland.
If you had a Mount Rushmore of greatest Illini athletes of any sport, I think you have to think about him on there.
If he wins the third title,
mm-hmm.
that'd be the first guy. I think I wrote about that last week.
Yeah.
And I think number four is hard. Number four could be one of about 20 people. But first three are pretty easy. First two easy, and Isaiah goes on, becomes number three if he wins again.
Okay, Bob, before I let you go, I got a texter in from 617. If Kendrick Foster is such a great NFL prospect, why didn't Coach Lovey play him on a terrible Illini team?
That is the question of the year. I don't think it was Lovey, actually. I think it was the offensive staff decided that Kendrick could not help them as much as they thought he could. I don't think he's a great prospect, but I think he's got some skill. He can catch passes. He's fast. He's a great runner when he has a chance. And he did not have a lot of help on the line last year.
I think, too, that Illinois, the staff or Lovey or whoever you want to put the burden on, I think kind of went full bore in on kind of the
young
youth,
guys.
The youth movement,
yeah.
and that's why you saw Mike Epstein and Ravon Bonner a lot more, and I was just as surprised as I think probably Kendrick was that he didn't play a significant role like he did last season.
Right.
Bob, thanks much.
Anytime.
The World According to Bob Osmussen, and we are back to wrap it up in a moment. All right, the March Madness is underway between LIU and Radford, a barn burner. They're early in the ball game right now. Matt Daniels, thanks for pinch hitting for Lauren Tate.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Scott.
It's a hard thing to do. What's coming our way?
Yeah, we got a look at Illinois baseball in Wednesday's News Gazette. Scott Ritchie's in Normal tonight, so we'll have a full report on how E.J. Liddell does for Belleville West, key Illinois recruiting target. And a lot of high school action that's going on as well, even with this cold weather. So we'll have you covered.
Radford up. 13-9 over LIU. There you go.
Let the madness begin.
Thanks, Brad Sturdy. Thanks, Bob Osmussen. Thank you, Evan Kahn, behind the scenes. Most of all, thank you all for listening. No show tomorrow. Illinois baseball. We're back on Thursday. We'll be live at Scotty's Brewhouse on Neal Street. Join us there. It's Newstalk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana. News Gazette Media Station at 6 o'clock. Good night.